Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, we welcome our guest, and that is Mufti Farhan Garani. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab, all well on your side?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Shukr, alhamdulillah. What's the latest in your area when the latest events that's taking place in terms of that the Ummah need to be alert of or warned of?
Yes, I was thinking, what must I speak about today? And I just didn't have any topic. Then I opened our kitab and it just came across something very interesting. Before that, you were asking me about, before I come to that, everything okay, this idea? You know, yesterday in class, one student, he didn't know his work. So, and generally, some of them, when they don't know their work, then what they do, they just start crying. They start crying and then they blame everything in the world. They blame their brother, they blame their sister, they blame their cat. But many, many excuses they come with. And they, you know, life is so difficult. Our life is so difficult. Like, you know, I got homework, school homework. And I have to do madrasa homework, and I have to do so many things, and you know, it's too difficult. So I asked him, you know, you say life is difficult. Alhamdulillah, you're wearing nice clothing, we have shoes, you eat lunch. So yes, I ate lunch, I ate chicken, and you ate what and what, like a three-course meal for lunch. And I said, so what's so difficult in your life? You know, people out there, they don't even have a meal for today, they don't know what they're going to eat for tonight. They didn't have shoes to wear for the past year. And they don't have a shelter. Their houses have been taken away, bulldozed, bombarded. They got so much to make shukr for. You know, we complain, life is tough, life is difficult. Just sit down a little bit for a moment and just think, is life really difficult for me? Look at myself. Look at what I'm wearing. Look at what I just ate. My meal, for, my next meal is already prepared. I have shoes on my feet. I have parents. I have people around me who care about me. How can I still think that nobody cares about me and my life is so difficult? And even if you got nobody, even if you have nobody in the world, still got Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is with us. And wherever we are, Allah Ta'ala is with us. So how can a mu'min ever be sad? How can a mu'min ever be suicidal? And a mu'min can't be suicidal. It can't give up on life. And because that is the work of shaitan, to make a person grieve over nothing. Absolutely nothing to be sad of, and no, nothing to be grieving about. We feel sad. We don't even know why we're feeling sad. And that is what Allah Ta'ala tells us, that when we are, when shaitan assaults us with all kinds of thoughts, evil thoughts, and suicidal thoughts, and that we have nothing in life, life is so difficult, life is so tough, and just think, that this is shaitan making me think like this, that I must read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and warp shaitan out of your mind. And it's because there's so much to be grateful for. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And if we are ungrateful, then Allah Ta'ala will take away everything we have. And then we'll have nothing. And then we will really have nothing, and then we will still complain. Still complain. And we have nothing, we complain, we got everything, we still complain. Hey, shaitan, وَكَالَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. Shaitan is really, insan is really ungrateful. So I came across one topic. A person who is an alim by tongue, but he is a jahil, is an ignorant person by heart. Now, what does this mean? And this kind of a person is a very dangerous person. A very, very dangerous person. This person can destroy the ummah, and he can destroy deen, and he can destroy people's lives. That he speaks like an alim, but his heart is a heart of a devil, heart of a shaitan, heart of a, he has daggers in his heart, and he has a dirty heart, he's a munafiq. Right? So once Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, sent a delegation to Umar radiallahu anhu. Amongst those people in the delegation was a person by the name of Ahnaf bin Qais. So they spent some time with Umar radiallahu anhu, and when it was time for them to leave, Umar radiallahu anhu kept back Ahnaf bin Qais. And he kept him back. He said, no, you can't go anywhere. He kept him there for one whole year. Imagine, this person came from Basra, and he's now told by the Amir al-Mu'mineen that he cannot go back home. He has to stay here for a year. What would we do now? He said, no, I got commitments at home. My family is waiting there. As Amir al-Mu'mineen has spoken, I can't say anything. Amir al-Mu'mineen has spoken. That is why we have to make islah of our nafs, that when we are given instructions, then we must obey the instructions. If it's instructions by the Khalifa, then we have no say. You can't even say, no, I can't. You can't even say, but you just have to listen. And you have to obey. Like if a Nabi was here, then if the Nabi says, we have to go in jihad, we have to do this, you have to leave now and go and do this work. You can't say, but, you know, there's nothing like that. The Sahaba used to be ever ready to fulfill whatever task Nabi Sassam put them with. Whatever Nabi Sassam told them to do, they were ready to do it without any questions asked. So Ahnaf bin Qais stayed behind. He had nothing to say. So he asked him, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, "Why, you know why I kept you here? Do you know why?" So he didn't ask. All this time he didn't ask, but you know, why you kept me here, making charcha there amongst the community, that, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu, just get me back here. I don't know what's the problem. You know, I didn't do anything wrong, and you know, I got things to do at home, and, you know, I got a family, I got a life, and, you know, this is not right. You know, people must speak up because he do this to you. He didn't create fitna. He didn't create fitna. He kept there, quiet, silent, doing his ibadat, getting on with life. And so Umar then asked him, do you know why? He said, no, I don't know why. I don't know why you kept me. So Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about that munafiq, that hypocrite, who has the tongue of an alim. That munafiq, that hypocrite, who has the tongue of an alim. So I got scared. He says, I got scared, thinking, oh, what is he saying about me? Now Umar then says that I was in doubt whether you are such a person. I was in doubt whether you are such a person. It is why I kept you here for an entire year. And after observing you for an entire year, I saw that you're not that kind of a person. Imagine what a relief you must have had. That such a warning, such a stern warning. And I was judged over a period of a year, and I passed my test, and I'm not included amongst those people who are hypocrites, who are munafiq, who have tongues of alim. They speak like an alim. And the person is an alim. The person studied. He went to Darul Uloom. He went to Darul Uloom. He studied. He became an alim. He has his certificate. He got his sanad. He got his fagri, everything. He's roaming around like an alim. But did that ilm penetrate his heart? If that ilm did not penetrate his heart, then that person is a munafiq. We spoke about it in the last week. Alim who does not practice upon the ilm he has received. Now this year, what the Nabi Qasim says is a munafiq. Why? What's a munafiq? A munafiq is a person who speaks something, but he does something else. He will tell people that you must do this, you must stay away from this year, but he himself does not do that, And he does not stay away from this, which he tells the people. Like, for example, Ali will say, don't eat prawns. But when he's gone somewhere far away in holiday, then he orders prawns, he eats prawns. But back home there, people who know him, they mustn't see him doing that because he speaks about it. Now, that is a hypocrite. So we must not have heart of hypocrites and tongues of alim. What we speak, we must practice upon. What we speak, it must come from our heart. And there was one alim who, when he used to speak and give a bayan, then he used to just speak maybe 1 minute, and the people start crying. People start crying, and they're going in a hall. So the alim's son asked his father, Abba, you know, to give a bayan, you just start off the bayan and you're already just 1 minute into the bayan and people are crying. I give a whole hour bayan and nobody is crying. It doesn't affect them. They see people like got their son's face. But nothing is happening to them. There's no effect on them. So the father told him, listen, better when you make amal, first make amal. Before you give the talk, make amal on what you have to say. Then Allah Ta'ala will put the effect on the people's hearts. Allah Ta'ala will make the words that you speak have an effect on the people's hearts. So that is the difference of an alim with the tongue and an alim with the heart. Once Abu Uthman Nahdi says that he heard Umar radiallahu anhu once on a minbar giving a bayan, telling the people, warning the people, that save yourselves from that kind of a munafiq who is an alim. That kind of a munafiq who is an alim. Now, you may ask that, munafiq and alim, munafiq is a contradiction there. No, there is no contradiction, like we explained just now. People ask, a munafiq, how can he be an alim? So, Umar replied, that person, you will speak the haq. You will speak the haq. But you will not practice the haq. You will speak the haq. You'll tell the people, stay away from this here. Do this. Don't do this. And don't involve yourself in haram. And read your salah. But that same person, he doesn't do what he's telling the people to do. So that is a munafiq. But he's an alim also. He studied in Darul Uloom. But his intention for studying was something different. His intention to study was to get a name, to be a social media giant, and have a huge following, and people must speak about him, and take photo shoots with people. And that is his objective in life, to be famous. To be famous. But not famous in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Not famous on the day of Qiyamah. What Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sahaba, he wants to be famous with the people of this dunya. And on the day of Qiyamah, there will be some people who will be called up and they will be asked that, what did you do for Islam? And he'll say, the Mujahid will come and say, I fought in your path, Ya Allah, and I got wounded and I got killed. See, this is my blood. I gave my blood for you. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you are a liar. You wanted people to say that you are so brave. So you earned your title already in the dunya. People already told you that you are very brave. They told your family, your son, your brother, your father was very brave. Another person, he'll be called to say, what did you do for Allah and his deen? So he'll say, Allah recited the Quran beautifully for you. But let us say, you're a liar. Imagine. You read for the people. For people to listen to you and to praise you. Wah, wah, Allahu Akbar. And you enjoyed it. You enjoyed it when people were praising you. So you've earned your title as a Qari. You are qari among the qurra in the dunya. So you have nothing. We have nothing to give you here. You already got your reward. They gave you hadiyas there, and they gave you, they put your name on a pedestal, and your name was published all over, and you became famous. So that is what you get. You earned it already, you got it for you. There's nothing here besides the fire of Jahannam. Last week I attended one Firaad Jalsa. You know, back in the days when you used to hear Qari reciting, then you would get a hal. Get a hal. Because there was sincerity. There was sincerity in the recital. In the Qari himself, there was khushu, there was khudu, there was taqwa. Sadly, in today's qurra, there is no such thing as taqwa. No such thing as taqwa. Qurra of today want to glorify themselves. They want a name for themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. They want a title. They want to be called Qari Sahib. And yesterday I was reading something that the Sahaba used to learn 10 ayats at a time. 10 ayats at a time. When they had memorized those 10 ayats, and when they had made amal on everything which they learned from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pertaining to those 10 ayat, and they practiced the point, and they studied everything, every angle of those 10 ayat, then only they learned the next 10 ayat. And that is how they became Ustaz and Qurra. Now those were true Qurra. They were true Hafizul Quran. When you say Hafizul Quran, in every meaning and sense, that those Sahaba, they were Qurra, they were Hufaz. Today's Qari, he wants to sit there on the in front on the stage and cross his legs and listen to his voice in the loudspeakers. So people must say, "Oh, mashallah, subhanallah." But you don't get that feeling of enjoyment listening to the khirat, because there's no taqwa. There's no taqwa from the reciter. If you listen to a previous qurra, those who passed away, and those qurra, they had real taqwa. And when you hear them, you just listen to a few words of their recital, and your tears come in your eyes. Now, those are real qurra. And like we're speaking about the alim of the heart and the alim of the tongue. So Umar radiallahu anhu once said, he used to always say that person, that munafiq, will destroy this ummah who is just an alim by the tongue. So these are different narrations on the same topic, and all pertaining to Umar radiallahu anhu. So you were speaking about the other narration that Abu Uthman Nahdi said that he heard Umar radiallahu anhu on a minbar saying that the most feared person in this ummah is that munafiq who is an alim. And people asked him that, "O Mir Mu'mineen, how can he be an alim? How can he be an alim and a munafiq at the same time?" So he said that that person will be speaking the haq with his tongue, but his heart will be dead, and his heart will be deprived of ilm and amal. And he just has ilm on his tongue, but the ilm did not penetrate into his heart. So this is what we have to be afraid of. Name and fame, our pious predecessors, the true ulama, rahbani, they were scared to put their name out there, to call themselves ulama, to call themselves people of the deen, because only Allah Ta'ala knows. And if we have an iota of pride in our hearts that I consider myself as an alim, on a day of Qiyamah, it mustn't be that Allah Ta'ala embarrasses me that you call yourself an alim. What ilm you had? What ilm you had? What? How much amal you made on the ilm you had? And what answer are you going to give? What answer are you going to give? You know, people like Mona Qasim Nanasi Rahane, they used to look for an opportunity where they can hide themselves, where they can hide themselves, and where they can how much they can hide their identity. And today it is the total opposite. We strive to portray ourselves as ulama and to glorify ourselves and to put ourselves and put our names out there so that people must talk about us. If you want somebody to talk about you, let the malaika talk about you. Let the malaika talk about you in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, that this person, he done such and such a good deed. You know, he hid his name. He did not publish his name everywhere to say he's so and so, and he is doing so and so work, such and such work of deen. One of our ulama of Dioban, they used to go to the train station, and they used to carry the luggage of the passengers. And who were those giants? Mana Qasim Nanafi Rahali and other great, great ulama of Dioban, of those days, the founders of Dioban. That is where every alim got his deen from, the fountain which was gushing out from Dioban. So those ulama, they did not want to be known. Now that is when Allah Ta'ala shines you, shines the light upon you and makes you shine in the world. So their ustads told them that today you are nothing in this. You're just a student, you're a number in a madrasa. Tomorrow when you go out there, then you will shine in the world. You will shine in the world. You will be a beacon of light. They couldn't understand. Couldn't understand what Maulana is talking about. And Allah Ta'ala proved it, and Allah Ta'ala showed them that this is what your ustad was talking about. That today you are nothing in a madrasa, and you are being taught everything. You are being taught about ilm, and your islah is also being made at the same time. It is why it is important that even a student of deen must be concerned about his islah, the islah of his nafs. The nafs is always looking for fame and name and fame, and shaitan is always looking for an opportunity to make us gloat and make us feel proud of what we are doing. One sheikh, he asked his murid, now who was his murid? His murid was a big Sheikhul Hadith, big Maulana, sitting and teaching dars. So he went to him and he whispered to him, you feel nice what you're doing. And just one, you feel nice what you're doing. And he started crying. Started crying. Said, hey Allah, I wasted all my years teaching. That the reality is that if I feel happy over what I'm doing, then I was doing it for name and fame. I was doing it for name and fame. And a student praises the ustad, praises the alim. When somebody praises the alim, wah, wah, what a bayan, man. Allahu Akbar, mashallah, Maulana. Today you really nailed it up. You know, the people really needed this nasihat. You know, they needed this bayan. And if you feel happy, fixing your collar there, you know, Allah Ta'ala fadl. You know, you're saying it's Allah Ta'ala fadl, they're describing that statement also. And you must feel ashamed. Ya Allah, you know, what's going to happen to my reward? Did I give that bayan for people to praise me afterwards? Or did I give that bayan for myself? Giving that bayan for myself. You know, when I tell me Rahman used to say that when I give bayan, when I talk, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking to myself. So if my nafs listens, then there will be hope that other people can also take hidayah from this. So we must always be on our guard. Shaitan wants to destroy us. At every given moment, Shaitan is looking for an opportunity to destroy us. And how he destroys us? Taking away this khulus, this ikhlas. Now, taking away this ikhlas. Taking away that sincerity that I'm doing for Allah's pleasure. even if one iota of pride, arrogance, vanity creeps in, then we are finished. Then we are lost. Because on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no good deed recorded for us. What will it be written in our book of deeds? That this person, you spoke a lot of words. Spoke a lot of words, but you wanted name and fame for it. There is no reward for him. We don't have any reward written for this kind of words spoken. And so Allah Ta'ala save us from being such ulama who always hankering for name and fame. And Allah Ta'ala save us from being qurra, who hanker in name and fame. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those mukhlisin, those sincere servants, banas of Allah Ta'ala, who only want to please Allah Ta'ala and nobody else, and they want nothing from this dunya besides Allah Ta'ala. Rizwan Mandi.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for that much needed nasiha. We request your du'as as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.